Once we left and we're on the road, I'm like, you can pee in a cup for all I care. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a Nintendo Dads After Dark. Tonight is Sunday, July 19th, 2015. My name is Zach Erickson, and we are here to listen to this music. Hang on. Sounds like I should be wearing board shorts. Joining me tonight as well to talk about Ant-Man is first, of course, Jesse Waldeck, co-editor-in-chief of EJTribune.com. What's going on, Jesse?
I am already exhausted. it's been a long week and weekend for me, so I'm hoping this doesn't take too long.
Well, that's nice. We'll do our best to do you in. Joining us as well go ahead.
Because I know next week, this next coming week, work will just be brutal as well. So,
right on.
Hang in there.
Hang in.
I'm trying.
Be brave, young one. Joining us as well is David Moore. Is that right? From dayspace.com. Justin is not with us because he apparently is too cool to see Ant-Man.
Well, this is what he said. I mean, he said this last time. We got to call him out because last time, after our Avengers conversation, he totally... He was like, I'm not going to see Ant-Man right away.
Oh, dude.
And what did we tell him? We told him he still had to see it.
He still has to see it. And especially now that we've seen it, you need to see it. I'm just going to call it right now.
Ant-Man Everybody.
Is awesome. It's really, really good. I have issues with it, but...
Wow.
What?
Wow.
What, did I totally just robot out?
The Skype...
Domo abrogato.
Oh.
Mr. Roboto.
Hang on. Just a second. Let me fix this. I think my internet's working again so I can get off of 3G or whatever. I'm going to sound really weird for about 2 seconds. One.
That's all right. It's already been 2 seconds of weirdness.
Okay. Are we good?
Yes.
Okay. We're good.
It's much better.
Okay. So I definitely had issues with this movie, but overall, I feel like it was really good. All of my problems with it came from the writer's room, from the writer's side of it. And this movie was in development hell, right? Especially with Edgar Wright leaving so late in development. But, for the most part, I really, really enjoyed it. I felt like it executed on what they had really well. But, going into this movie, I was also really, really excited. So just because it was so different, right? Like it's so different from everything else. This guy can shrink to the size of an ant and can talk to ants. How can that even make a good movie? But, I don't know. How are you feeling, Dave, going into it?
I went in with low expectations because I was prepared for what I was going to feel like a potential stumble. After Edgar Wright left, after he, as the director, decided to leave, I was like, okay, there's going to be problems with this movie no matter what. Like, This is a sign. And I was like, we've got this huge Marvel movie universe now. So we've got these huge mega movies that it has to live up to because They're part of the same, you know, universe. So I was like, I don't know. This should be – I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it because I am a Marvel love fanboy of – you know, all these movies, but will it be the great movie that Guardians of the Galaxy was? Will it stand up to the test of Avengers 1? And I didn't think it would. But you had tweeted me before that and said, Dave's got to see this because it's going to be awesome. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, it's going to be awesome, but I still felt a little bit worried going into it. Mm-hmm. Excited. Yeah. Excited, but worried.
How about you, Jesse? How are you feeling going into it?
I was excited for it, but I also was prepared for this to be the first Marvel flop. And I think I've said this in the show on either of our shows before, that you know, people who didn't understand the characters of any movie think is going to be the first big flop. That happened with Guardians of the Galaxy, but everyone loved it. And people said, okay, so Captain America's coming. Okay, that should be fine. Avengers is coming. That should be fine. Ant-Man, what the hell is that? And then
you explain it. You're like, oh, yeah, it's a guy who can, like, you know, turn really small, and he talks to ants.
And it flies around on an ant.
And it sounds terrible.
And so people are expecting that to be the first big flop. And I was hoping it wouldn't. And I was prepared, but I was prepared in case it was to just kind of went, oh, okay, yeah, it was a movie, but it surpassed my expectations.
And to be fair, you know, the thing is like, was this like on par with Guardians of the Galaxy or the first event? Like, Guardians of the Galaxy for me is the pinnacle. So well executed. Yes, there were a couple of things that you're like, I don't know, like, Gamora's pretty one-dimensional, and Drax, the whole thing where he just calls Ronan out of nowhere, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, like, it never happened, but it kind of did. Like, there's a couple of weird spots in Guardians, but for the most part, that's, like, for me, the pinnacle of what a Marvel movie can be. But it seems to me like it's pretty clear now that if you're going to a Marvel Studios movie, it's not going to be a bad movie. They've perfected the formula. But if it's it's pretty likely that you're going to get a fairly formulaic experience at this point, which Ant-Man really kind of was, but also had some great actors and some good, you know, some good humor in it and some really inventive action scenes. The third act is always, in my opinion, the weakest of the three acts. And this movie is no exception either, right? Where, like, the third act, like, when, here's actually this villain that we should probably get to know at some point. He's just crazy. Okay, he's going to fight some people. Never mind. Okay. You know, like...
And Ultron.
Like, yeah, like a really similar, you know, like, he almost felt like...
Malekith, except I like this character much more than I like Malekith.
He's kind of this slimy sort of, like, I read a thing with Corey Stoll online, like an interview on what attracted him to the role, and he said he liked him because he was just like such a loser. Where you're just like, this guy's he's such a loser, and he's got such an inferiority complex that he, you know, that drives him crazy. And we'll get into some of the other explanations. I have an air quotes here, explanations on why he goes crazy, which I wasn't a huge fan of, but for the most part, it was like, it reminded me a lot of the first Iron Man, where Obadiah Stane is like, he's this like cutthroat businessman, and then all of a sudden the third act hits and he's like, I'm going on a killing rampage and I'm going to kill everybody. And I was like, what? That was a big jump.
Yeah, but, a little drastic, like, there.
Yeah, like he's just all of a sudden going to kill everybody. But yeah, for the most part, loved it. Let's talk about the casting for a minute. So Paul Rudd as Ant-Man, I thought he was really good as far as... I felt like he was really good, but I needed a little bit more... He was very relatable, and he's definitely one of the most relatable characters, but I can't really explain it other than that there was just something missing, and I think maybe it was because you never had that hero moment out of him. You know what I mean? Where you never really, like in Captain America or something like that, where he's like, I'm going to sacrifice myself. It's like, yes, he kind of did the whole shrinking down thing, but it never really felt like it was a sacrifice of himself.
It felt like a mistake. And like when he shrunk himself, well, now we're getting into spoiler warnings here.
Yeah, well, everybody knows. Spoiler warning, by the way, everyone. Spoilers.
Who listened to this point,
Yeah.
Don't. When he shrunk himself to subatomic, right?
And he basically goes into what the comics call the microverse, right? And here they call it the quantum realm or something like that. But anyway.
I'm sure somebody else owns the licensing. But
or it's just more science-y,
I think. Maybe more updated. It felt like he had done that more or less because it was like a mistake that had to have happened for him to win. Like,
mm-hmm. It wasn't like a conscious choice. It was like, well, I guess I have to.
It was almost like there's a moment where, like, in a movie, if, like, a guy pushes a little kid out of the way of a bus, right? Mm-hmm. That's the moment. And you get that shot of him seeing it. You get a shot of the kid. You get a shot of the bus. You get a shot of the guy making the decision to do that, right? Yeah. And that's the normal, like sacrifice moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we got that.
They tried to, but it was such a weird thing where it wasn't him pushing somebody out of the way. It was, I am now going to shrink so much that I'm going to disappear. Right. Is basically what it was. And to be able to show that on screen, I think they did a fairly good thing where a good way of doing it, where he's kind of panning through this sort of, you know, the world is passing by him and things are getting bigger and bigger as he's getting smaller and smaller. And they kind of have that. And I know we're jumping straight to the end of the movie, but I think that because it's the climax of the movie and the clincher, and for that to not really hit as hard as I wanted it to, it kind of, at the end of the movie, I was like, oh yeah, okay, well, he's still not a hero. Like, yes, he is a hero in the fact that he prevented, you know, Yellow Jacket from destroying whatever, you know, from going crazy, and that he destroyed all of this technology that could have been disastrous. But he isn't necessarily reformed. Like, he's still going to see his buddy the next day, like, oh, so I heard that you have something going on for me, right? Like, he's still going back to his criminal buddy saying, hey, what have you heard on the street? So yeah, I don't know.
Well, I think part of that is it was telegraphed horribly. You know, as soon as Yellowjacket said that it was made of titanium, you knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So the shock value was gone.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff like that in here where it's like, ooh, the writing was not very on point. You know, and there's some, maybe I'll just get into a couple of them. First of all, I mentioned this on Twitter, and I don't know why, but this really bothered me. And I know that Marvel movies kind of have a diversity problem in general, but this one hit me particularly, like, it really annoyed me, actually. Because going into this movie, I was hearing things like, oh man, Michael Peña is awesome, and he's hilarious, and he steals the show. And I went in there, and the first thing, like, it's this Mexican guy who immediately makes a deportation joke, and he kind of has a, like, I've seen Michael Peña in other stuff before. He was in World Trade Center or something like that with Nicolas Cage, I think. He was in a few different things, and he's a pretty solid actor, but he's so over the top, sort of like stereotypical, you know, illegal immigrant Mexican criminal type. That I was like, he was just like, hey, where's my sombrero? You know what I mean? Like,
I thought it worked really well. Honestly, if they want to throw this into the bonus Blu-ray, if he could do like the voice dubbing over the whole movie, mm-hmm. where he's like telling the stories, I would. that whole bit was hilarious.
How where he's telling his flashbacks, and when we're seeing the flashbacks,
his voice is doing all the voices.
They're mouthing what he's saying, even though that isn't what really happened.
Right.
And then they get
Stan Lee doing that. That was really good.
Yeah, my youngest daughter and I actually were thinking, we haven't seen Stan Lee yet. We should have by now. And there it is right near the end of the movie.
Yeah. That was good. But I don't know. Like, it was like, oh, look, here's the hero. He's a white guy. Here's the other guy. He's a white guy. Here's the villain. And all of the other executives, all white guys, everybody else. And then, like, oh, here's the criminals. And it's, what was he? Some sort of European. I couldn't place the accent, but some sort of European guy, a Mexican guy, and a black guy. And I was like, really? Like, it just felt weird. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, we are three white guys sitting around talking about this, but.
True, but I mean, like, if we,
I mean,
that's
only
just the
to
way
be
it
fair.
Kind of that. I mean, that's but, it's not like we held auditions for this role, right?
Right,
it's just happened to be that way. But
I think you're kind of right. Is that maybe they should have done something else among the taken away from the stereotypes? Maybe these.
That was my other thing, was like the black guy was kind of like the jive talker, and, you know, like, you had the weird, the sort of weird, quirky European guy stereotype. Like, it was just really treading on really common stereotypes that were funny, but also really kind of shallow stereotypes that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So
I think it had the potential. Here's the beauty of something like the Ant-Man movie universe. Is we kind of know who these characters are, and us who read some of the comics like I dug through my dad's old comics and read, like, I read most of, like, the Avengers stuff while he's going through the divorce and the, like, the settlement to get his child. Like, mm-hmm. that's the story that I've read in the comics. And that's great stuff. And I love that that's a thing. But, like, we don't know any of this stuff. Like, it's, like, the casual mm-hmm. people. And I think they had an opportunity here to make up or change those characters and no one get mega upset.
Yeah,
about
they
it.
Could have done just about anything they wanted with them.
Right. Like of the side characters, like they can just be whoever. Like, who cares?
Yeah, for sure.
And that has sure. and that has some potential. Something going back to the beginning of this mm-hmm. this podcast, I wanted to ask you both is, did you guys go in with the feeling like oversaturation of like superhero movies at all? Like, maybe we've hit the. Did you think that maybe we'd finally hit the threshold? Like, we've had too many of these movies, too many superhero movies.
No.
I went in thinking that this could be that point where this might be too much, and then I walked out going, yeah, never mind, I want more of these.
I feel like we're not there yet, but and maybe after this we can kind of go back to Comic-Con and see some of the Comic-Con, talk about some Comic-Con stuff.
We can do that.
If we want to, because it seems to me like I felt like that more like, you know, with all of the stuff coming up, that is very much a possibility. That's on the horizon. And I think that Marvel is smart to kind of diversify. Like, I'm really excited for Doctor Strange. That's the next one that I'm super excited about. It's funny because Avengers Age of Ultron has actually made me less excited for Civil War. I'm kind of like, oh, it's basically going to be Avengers again. And yes, they're going to fight each other. But really, I have seen so many movies with these characters that I kind of know them, and the likelihood that they're going to put them in a position or they're going to change these characters and show me something about these characters that I haven't seen before is pretty low, right? Like, Captain America is Captain America. He's not going to do that much different. Maybe he will, and I hope that they do, but they need to keep surprising us. And I feel like the original roster of Avengers is kind of getting stale. And so I'm not worried about... You know, Kevin Feige's talked a lot about how Marvel Studios doesn't see the superhero movie as a genre. They see it as just another sort of circumstance within the world that they continue to tell stories, but they can tell all sorts of things. I really hope that Doctor Strange becomes this really cool sort of supernatural thriller, almost like a quasi-horror film. I don't think they're going to go full horror, but I want it to be like this supernatural thriller type movie. So anyway,
I like that you kind of think this is the same way I do. Is I started realizing after Ant-Man that they do this thing where they take these are just stories again. The same way Disney mm-hmm. can pull any of the multi of stories that they take inspiration from to make all the Disney movies, they still all fall under different like genres.
Yeah.
So like the Ant-Man movies are almost like, you know, heist movies.
It's kind of like it's kind
of Guardians of Space movies, and it's
yeah.
Sure,
Ant-Man was like a superhero version of Ocean's 11. You know what I mean? Like if we were to have like you know, it'd be cool. And yeah, I don't know. By the way, I loved,
just as long as George Clooney doesn't put on a cape again.
Yeah. Although let's talk about Michael Douglas for a second, as Hank Pym. I loved the fact that they decided, instead of having just another, because Hank Pym is basically Tony Stark, right? Like, yes, he's a little bit different. He's not, you know, he's not as smarmy and whatever, but he's basically like an old man Tony Stark. And so to have introduced Hank Pym as the same age as Tony Stark, which he is in the comics, I love the fact that he was this old guy and that he had this sort of great legacy. You know, they kind of have the montage of like Vietnam footage where Ant-Man is like running around and you know, that sort of thing. And then they later in the film, they talk about the Wasp, you know, the original Wasp, which I loved. Like, they only show up for a split second and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, stop. I want to go back and freeze frame that and actually just look at the suit, because it's so fast that you don't even get to see the original Wasp for very long. And all of a sudden she's gone, right? It's just in the flashback. But I loved that idea of that in a single flashback, in a couple of scenes, you know, in that montage scene of in Pym Industries or whatever, where Yellowjacket is, you know, showing off the footage, and then in the flashback from the Wasp, they've opened this entire era of potential storytelling, which I don't think they're going to get too much into. Maybe they'll touch on it a little bit in like Agent Carter, for example. I think that'd be cool to kind of get maybe a little bit more backstory on that stuff. You can get like a younger Hank Pym introduced into Agent Carter or something like that. But that whole idea of, you know, early superhero work with the Ant-Man program is super cool. So I don't know. What'd you guys think about Michael Douglas and that whole like Gen 1 Ant-Man?
I loved that they didn't like make that a big drawn out part of the movie. Like, there's no big flashback. It's not the intro because it's not, you know, we didn't need a Hank Pym Ant-Man movie. Like, I want the prequel. I'll enjoy the prequel, but I don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think your Agent Carter idea actually is wonderful because I do want to see this stuff, but I don't want it to be ruined by giving me something that I don't need.
And it was so subtle and it was so kind of restrained that, you know, I mean, like, this is the original Ant-Man and the Wasp, right? Like, you want this to, you would think that the reaction would immediately be, let's really tell this amazing story. And I almost feel like because they were so restrained in how they told it, that it's almost like instantly becomes this sort of like legend status, you know, where it's just like the original and it was so mysterious, you know, the tales to astonish, as they put it in the movie, right? Where it's just like super mysterious and they don't tell us very much. And so therefore it is that much more appealing and interesting because of the way that they told it. I loved that. So, and I loved, again, the sort of, they show the helmet again later, with the new suit, but the helmet of the Wasp. I love that they just said, you know what? It's going to be weird if we try and make the Wasp anything other than just another suit. So let's just make it a suit. I liked that. I was okay that they did that. So,
what is it in the comics?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm going to look it up, honestly, but I know that in the Ultimate Universe, she was a mutant.
Okay, which is what I thought.
Yeah, I think she might be. Which is what I thought
the Wasp was, but I mean, my Marvel side character knowledge is lacking.
Yeah, I don't have the comic reference, but, you know.
Oh, it's not in here. Okay.
I've seen all, you know, the Avengers cartoons that's aired over the past 6-7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Avengers cartoon started, they had Hank Pym as Ant-Man and I forget her character's name, Janet maybe, as Wasp. And I think that was also a suit, but we never saw her without it.
They really
didn't say whether it was a mutant or a suit.
Yeah, here we go. This is on Wikipedia. It says, when her father is killed by an alien entity unleashed during one of his experiments, Janet turns to his associate, Dr. Henry Pym, for aid and convinces him to help her. In order to avenge her father's death, she undergoes a biochemical procedure that grants her the ability to yada, 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 yada.
Okay, so...
Although she uses the Pym particles to change size. I always was a fan of the fact that, yeah, she's just a mutant, which is what it was in the Ultimate Universe.
That's interesting. I like when they change it.
So since I know the Janet and Hank pair more than the new guy, Scott, was it? So I liked watching that flashback, and even though Janet wasn't on for long.
Yeah, really liked that moment between him and his daughter too. Like, it just, man, those actors, like, it just hit. You know what I mean? Like, it just hit with, it was choked me up in the theater. I was just like, man, this is awesome. Like, It always felt a little bit contrived when they were fighting. Like, it wasn't entirely convincing, but the reconciliation was, that whole scene was just super awesome. I love
when they're fighting and we all feel awkward and Scott's just like, yeah, this is getting weird.
this is beautiful, like, thank you, or whatever.
Thank you for really breaking that wall of saying, because it's one of those things that the Marvel studios can do, mm-hmm. and bring the humor in no matter what. Like, no matter how serious, moment gets, they have...
They cracked the joke. Did I break the moment?
Right. Yeah.
And I expected that same joke to have been made at the very end of the movie, but they didn't go there.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of was hoping that they would.
Yeah, they should have. Actually, you mean when Hank Pym opens the door or whatever?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. I really liked the just the whole thing. You know, she was great too. Hope Van Dyne, I thought was really good too. Let's talk about Darren Cross for a minute here. I want to talk about this concept, and it's very briefly mentioned. You know, Hank Pym mentions it very briefly, but he says, I don't know if Darren Cross knows about this, but these particles will actually make you crazy, and so you have to have an isolated helmet in order to not go crazy from these particles. I don't know if he knows that. And then that's the reason that he goes nuts, apparently, is like what happens. And they're like, no, the particles are making you crazy. Don't fight us or whatever. How did you guys feel about that? Because I really felt like it wasn't necessary to go that far. I don't know. It felt weird.
I feel like it's weird, but it also can set up some really interesting ways to bring that back. So, meaning like in future movies, if other villains get the ability to use those to manipulate the Avengers to fight each other.
Right.
I think that potential is awesome, but I think you're right, is that it wasn't needed here.
Isn't that just another like Loki's staff or something like that then?
Well, but that's kind of what it is. Has anybody watched the Lego, Spider-Man thing that's on Netflix?
Oh, like the snowballs or whatever?
Yeah, with the snowballs. Exactly, with the snowballs. I mean, mm-hmm.
What's this?
It's an animated Lego.
My son has watched it a ton. He's watched the whole thing probably like 15 times.
I need to find this. It sounds amazing.
It's Lego Marvel Superheroes, and it's like Loki's. It's like a bunch of 5-minute shorts. It's like four or five of them, and he's sitting in Jotun or in Asgard or whatever, and he has what is he called the Nornfrost, and so he just like opens a portal and throws this snowball at a different villain. And then they get like supercharged, which really nothing happens other than their eyes start glowing. And then they fight a superhero, and then it's the end. But it's really funny, and it's got kind of the classic Lego humor, you know, in all of their games and stuff. It's very similar to that, so it's pretty funny. I don't know.
It's
just felt like it was
by Warner Brothers, which is great.
Yeah, it felt. I don't know. I guess it just felt like a lazy writing trope more than anything. Like, yeah, like you could have done that, or you could have given like some really cool character reason that he would do this.
Right. And he could have gave more reasons why he was upset with Hank.
And again, another very similar thing, and maybe it's just because I've watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm getting tired of it, is like, and also, by the way, I'm selling this to Hydra. Right, it was just like really like.
Are you watching?
Have to go there.
Are you watching S.H.I.E.L.D. now?
I have to watch the finale. That's all I haven't watched. So
okay, so I think you only feel that way because you're watching it right now, and this is me, because I was glad they would mention Hydra existed.
Yeah,
I'd rather. I mean, that or had just shown us somebody from Hydra and not said who they were from.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have been better, maybe better executed. Once again, it's like the subtlety of the writing.
And it was like, of course, it was that Weasley guy who was at in the opening scene, right? It wasn't anybody else. It was like this weird Weasley guy that we never saw say anything other than like some snarky thing to Hank Pym, right? Like you never understood who this guy was other than he was a weasel, and for him to be, I don't know. And maybe I realize that I'm asking for character development on every single character, but I just want to know who these people are. And so many of them were just like, yeah, no, he's the bad guy. And that was it, right? So,
right.
Is he the one where him busted his nose on the
computer? Yeah, which, by the way, great Agent Carter cameo too, right? Like where she's in like the slightly old makeup and the old version of Tony Stark from Iron Man 2. From the reels and stuff like that, they brought that actor in. I really liked both of those cameos
for Howard Stark, you mean?
Yeah, Howard Stark. Yeah.
Speaking of brilliant cameos, I didn't let myself get spoiled. What do you guys think of the fight with the Falcon?
Oh, I loved it.
Oh my God. I was like, please have him fight somebody who we know.
I love that whole thing. It's like, it's this abandoned warehouse thing. And then it's like, oh crap, they repurposed it. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
It's just a great moment.
I'm so glad they did that to prove to us that he had like the fighting potential to fight like other things than just these suits. Like he kind of had to fight an Avenger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was cool.
To prove his worth as an Avenger to me, he had to do that. Even if it's Falcon.
I thought you were talking about Falcon.
Falcon, Ant-Man had to fight an Avenger.
Yeah, that's true. Because and they kind of showed like his prowess as he's breaking into the house at the earlier on in the movie, but he's he's kind of like jumping up the gutter and whatever, like up the drain pipe and all that kind of stuff. It was pretty cool,
right,
but
he becomes like Daredevil level, and there's nothing wrong with that to me. Like I like the smaller contained story of Ant-Man and Daredevil and everything else, but like because he has to join the Avengers roster.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of had to prove to me that he could take on at least one of the Avengers. Like
yeah.
It had to be Hawkeye, or he had to take out like Quicksilver or something.
Mm-hmm.
To prove that he's that tough. Like he could be agile and awesome, but
mm-hmm.
One thing I'm surprised that they didn't do in the movie, which I've seen him do in, at least in the cartoons, was to grow past his normal height.
Yeah. They kind of hinted that, right? They hint at it at the end there.
With the giant train.
Well, with the giant train, with like the weird like throwing stars that make things bigger and smaller, which I was like, it was cool that they were doing this, but I liked in the first Ant-Man, like, or the first Iron Man, like they took time to explain the tech, right? Whereas this one, it was like, don't worry about it. You throw this and it makes them smaller. You throw this and it makes them bigger, right? And which was fine. I mean, you don't have to. It would have been nice to have like a little bit of they do explain like it reduces the distance of atom or of space between atoms, which by the way, the physics there don't make sense.
I couldn't even. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't understand.
Like, it kind of makes sense. It sort of kind of makes sense as long as you don't know anything about physics.
I felt like the way I did about like Lucy, where it's like, no, we know that we use 10% of our brain. We also know that separating the space between atoms makes no sense because it wouldn't be attached.
what would happen is that if when he would shrink, then he would not be able to move because he'd be so dense that he'd be like incredibly solid, right?
Right.
Like he'd be super solid, and then you would throw the enlarging one, and he would turn into a gas, right? He would just vaporize. Yeah. But you know, I mean, whatever. Physics, whatever. I'm okay with that being something. You know,
I mean, let's be realistic. I mean,
that's why they needed the PIM particles. There you go.
Know,
you know, I mean,
right.
I'm okay with that.
We're in a universe where there's a tree alien that has a raccoon that has a bazooka. I mean,
it's okay. I'm fine with
it. It's fine.
But
just embrace it.
No, I think that what I was specifically referring to is like how he gets out of his like perpetual shrinking, right? Where he's like, he actually takes one of the growing discs or whatever and he puts it in his regulator. And he uses that to grow. And I think it would be really cool. I bet you we probably don't see it until probably an event like Avengers 3 Part 1 or 2. But we'll probably see a giant man moment in there, I'm going to say. Where he does actually, you know, he actually is able to grow as well as shrink.
I say they save that too.
I think they need to save it for the Avengers and really have a cool fight scene where he's enormous, right? Where he's taking on somebody else.
Like maybe Tony needs to figure that out, like just to give him something to do.
Yeah, and you know, maybe having Michael Douglas. I would love to see Michael Douglas come back.
Yeah.
He probably won't be anything more than a cameo, because I don't think this movie's going to get a sequel. I just don't see it. It's so much of like a standalone sort of thing. That's kind of by design what it is, that I'm totally okay with him not making a sequel to it. But having him become like another like Hulk or something like that, where he's still a really important part of the bigger movies. So
we're in a world where if a movie makes enough money, it gets a sequel. I think it might be a long time from now that we get the Ant-Man sequel, but mm-hmm. I definitely think we're going to get it. I don't necessarily need it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather get a prequel to Ant-Man.
I would too.
If you want to give me something fun, just give me a prequel movie. I don't need it. I think it's cool that it's mysterious, but I also am so okay with that.
Yeah.
Maybe as a possible storyline for a sequel would be they've learned more about the quantum realm and try to get Janet back.
Yeah, they kind of hint at that, don't they? And he's kind of like, oh, you didn't see anything? Like, you didn't see anything at all? Like, he wasn't sure? Like, it. Part of me was, like, thinking, like, okay, are they doing, like, basically, like, are they going for, like, Big Hero 6, where they go into this alternate dimension and go back and rescue this girl? Or, like, what's going on here? Hopefully they don't do that, but
I thought that was going to happen when we went in there, because of Big Hero 6. I was like, this feels oddly familiar.
Yeah.
But I hope that they do something with Wasp, versus, you know, otherwise they would have just wasted that.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that,
I mean,
that last scene.
Yeah, no, I definitely think she's going to be... I haven't seen anything, but there's so few female characters in these movies that I feel like they kind of need to bring her in. And I definitely think she's going to be in Avengers. I don't know if she'll be in Civil War. But,
yeah, I was going to say either Civil War or Avengers 3.
Yeah.
Do we even think Ant-Man will have a major role in Civil War?
He's already in... He's in Civil War.
I know he's in it, but do we think he'll have a major role? Like for like the big overarching story of that movie, do you think it'll matter?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, I don't, like, there's so many characters in that movie that I don't know if anybody's gonna have a major role in that movie. You know what I mean?
Well, it'll feel Avengers 2, where nobody gets enough.
Yeah, like, I kind of hope that a lot of the superheroes in Avengers or in Civil War are basically part of the backdrop. Right? Like, we already kind of know that Black Widow is going to be a little bit more of in the backdrop as well, because she's freaking, like, you know, I think she's kind of trying to get out of the whole movie thing. They're not movies necessarily, but I think Scarlett Johansson is really trying to pull back her role. And I've kind of read some sort of rumor, spoiler type stuff online about what her role is in that movie. I don't want to bring it up here just for spoiler reasons if it ends up being true, but it seems like she's going to have a reduced role. And I think that, again, there are so many superheroes in the world now in this universe that not everybody can be a part of every single story. And so, and in phase two, we kind of saw, oh, well, they'll just all pretend that they don't exist. And maybe in phase three, what they're going to do instead is be like, no, we're in this world. We exist. All of the superheroes exist, but they're not a part of everybody else's story. It's not like, you know, like, where literally the entire US military goes every time there's a problem. It's like, no, it's pretty, you know, compartmentalized. Everybody's kind of got their own little area and their own region. And okay,
like
you're
comics.
Over here. Yeah. Like in the comics, right? You've got the West Coast Avengers, you've got the East Coast Avengers, whatever.
I feel like this universe is so big. It needs just to be a TV show. Just move it all to Netflix, give them endless budget. Just go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And just, give us 13 episodes every, like, couple months.
Did you see, like, just a couple of days ago, they, somebody, the actor, I forget his name, the actor who is going to be Spider-Man, posted a picture of him and the dude who's playing Punisher on Instagram. Like, they're just hanging out together. Taking a picture with each other on Instagram, and it was like, is Spider-Man going to end up being in Daredevil season 2 before he's in any movie? That would be interesting.
I still think that's where he belongs.
It actually would be really interesting to just kind of have him show up. Maybe it would be cool to have him show up because, again, Kevin Feige has said that he's already out there swinging around, and so have him just like show up in like half an episode and be like, oh, I'm just this kid who's fighting crime and whatever, and then he just swings away and that's it.
Like he just swings in and helps him really quick.
Yeah, he swings in and he has a conversation with the Punisher or something, or with Daredevil. That'd be really awesome.
Speaking of Spider-Man, did anybody catch the Spider-Man reference in this movie?
At the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I freaked out.
I was like, oh my God.
I think I missed this. What happened?
So it was the second thing where Michael Pena's character is kind of going through and talking all about different stuff, you know, and it's the journalist, and she says something to the effect of, or Falcon is talking to the journalist in the park, and he's saying something like, oh, I'm looking for this guy who's this bug man who can shrink down, or he says something like that, and the journalist is like, oh, come on, we've got all sorts of bug people. We've got people who can walk on walls and people who can swing and all that kind of stuff. And she makes
I got a guy with an iron suit, I've got a guy with a big hammer, and I've got a guy that crawls on walls.
And yeah,
which is, it's just like,
you're like, whoa,
what? What?
Yeah. So it's,
so wait, they already picked up Spider-Man. When did this happen?
See, because the way I was hearing it, I thought it was the journalist, like the girl who was saying that to him.
Oh, see, this is why I have to see this movie again. It's
because she was like the ears on the ground. Right. And so she was hearing rumors of this weird superhero spider guy. So
I wasn't ready for that moment to happen. Yeah. So I wasn't like super tuned to hear exactly what she says, but I definitely need to go back just to hear exactly what they referenced, because I heard crawls on walls, Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah. I have a couple more points here too that I wanted to just touch on. The ants, because one of the things, like, getting really small is one thing, right? Like, oh, it's a power that he turns small, but talking to ants was such a weird thing for them to, like, I was almost wondering if they were even going to touch it at all. You know, like, yes, he kind of does, but the fact that they went whole hog, like, no, he freaking talks to ants, he controls them, that's just live with it, people. And I thought, okay, well, that's cool. Well, what are they going to do? But then they go into the specific breeds, the specific species of ants. And so you've
that was brilliant. You've got
the carpenter ants that can fly, and you've got the little tiny orange fire ants or whatever they were, and you've got the super painful biting ants and all. You know what I mean? That was just like, oh yeah, no, that would actually be way more useful than I initially thought, because he was really smart and strategic about what kind of ants he had.
When they were talking about reducing the water pressure so he can get in through there, my daughter leans over to me and says, they need to make the fire ants huddle up and make like a raft for them. And like 10 seconds later, I'm like, ta-da, they did it.
Yeah, it was really cool. I really liked how they like brought all of the different types of ants. Like
Can we get the giant ant, the giant pet ant to be in the next Avengers movie?
He died, like, though. Anthony?
Did he die?
Yeah, remember, no, he's like, he's,
well, Anthony died, but not the ant that grew.
Oh, the size. Giant one. Okay,
the giant one they kept as like a pet.
I thought you meant
feeding it under the table.
I thought you meant the one that he was like flying on, and then out of some miraculous shot, he shot the ant out from underneath him, and I was like, wow, that was a really good shot. yeah, I just thought that was really cool.
No, I want the giant ant to be like, I don't know, his sidekick.
Yeah,
it's weird. This weird ant sidekick.
and then the fighting, and like the action scenes in this movie were so great, because you kind of knew that these fights were like, yes, it is going to be a fight and whatever, but the stakes were never super high. Like, they were high personally for him, especially near the end, because they were for Scott,
so close
because they were close to his daughter. But everything else, it was like, oh, we're fighting in a briefcase, you know? And it was like
it's and they hit the iPhone button and Siri starts talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah.
And he like swats him into the bug zapper, and you know, and then like the whole thing from the trailer with the train, and like so many moments like that too, where it was like, wow, this is totally innocuous and not very scary at all, but also really exciting and cool and fun. Right. It was a really cool, visually, they were showing us so many things. But by the way, I saw this in 3D, and some of the scenes in 3D were actually really, really good. The scene where they're flying through the server farm or whatever it is was really cool in 3D. And there was a few moments like that that were really, really good in 3D. But just a lot of visual things that we had never seen before. And that's exactly what I was expecting going into this movie. It was like, all right, nobody has ever shown me something like this before. So let's see it. And I think they really delivered on the visual aspect of that for sure.
That first moment where he shrinks, I was just like, this is great.
Which, by the way,
he goes down the drain.
Yeah.
And he's in like the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're in like the party downstairs or whatever.
Right. And I was just like, this is great.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
Like him running up the barrel of the gun in the trailer and stuff is like, yeah, I kind of see that being a thing.
Yeah. And where he's running through the the model of the building or whatever, the white model inside, and he's like jumping over cars and sliding through, but it's all just like this little model and while he's getting shot at. Yeah, it was all super good. I really, really liked it. And again, it was more just like a few things where really like it was almost entirely around the villain, where I was like, ah, this villain just sucks. Like, he's just crazy, and there is no way that somebody who is this mentally and, like, emotionally unstable is going to actually rise to be the leader of this company. You know what I mean? Like, he's so emotional, and how did he ever get this far?
Marvel needs to bring in a serious villain again. Because what they've done is they've given us Loki, which is great, right? Mm-hmm. But everybody else they brought in is like completely forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mandarin?
Mandarin, Malekith. That was just weird. Like bring I say this because this is my dream. Bring in Venom.
That would be awesome.
Do it right. Bring in Venom.
Maybe they'll do it with, although I am unsure, but hopefully the MCU version of Norman Osborn is really good. I saw a rumor online, and I don't know if it's
that would confirmed work enough.
I don't know if it's confirmed or not. I don't think it's official, but I saw rumors of Matthew McConaughey playing Norman Osborn.
What?
Which would be really. I think it's a great choice.
No, I think that'll work.
I think he could be really, really creepy and really, really good.
See, I liked Ultron a lot, but I'm in the minority there, I think.
I didn't mind him. He suffered from the third act syndrome where
let's learn about him really quick.
Yeah, and he just kind of like there's this really important principle of writing and character development that every single character is the hero of their own story. And so the villain needs to be the hero of his own story. You look at, for example, a perfect example is
Kingpin.
Kingpin was a great example. Perfect example is Magneto from the X-Men movies, where he is on a, you know, he is crazy and he is going to kill all humans. But from his perspective, he is doing it out of nobility and out of service to mutant kind. And, you know, like he really is dedicated to his cause. And he's the hero. To him, he's a hero, right? Look, the history books will look back and praise the name of Magneto because he ushered in the age of mutants. And like Yellow Jacket was just nuts, right? They at no point convinced me that he was the hero of his own story. He was
greedy and he wanted to sell his tech to Hydra.
Yeah, and he wanted to prove. Like, maybe they kind of did in the fact that he was insecure and wanted to prove himself to Hank Pym or to make him pay. But really,
almost like daddy issues.
Yeah, like, he's not really relatable, though, because even if we do have, even if, like, somebody really does have daddy issues, what they want is reconciliation, right? And what they want is something other than, they don't want to like totally take this person out. Well, maybe some crazy people do, but that's still not relatable. So I don't know. I guess that's my sort of take on that.
Marvel needs this in the next big movie. The villain needs to hold the story the way the Kingpin did in Daredevil.
Well, and here's the thing, or too, the is that Civil War, I hate to tell you, Civil War is not going to have a villain like that.
Oh, I know that.
Civil War, it's like Baron Zemo, I think, and it's just like, oh, really? Like, there's going to be the fighty-fighty between the heroes, and then everybody's going to come together to fight Hydra again.
Yeah, they had a chance with this, you know, at least in the Sony side of the line with the Sinister Six movie, which we don't. Is that still happening? Or
according to what stopped? I read, it was still a thing.
And but, is this basically like Suicide Squad for Marvel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
why don't they do the Thunderbolts if that's, well, I guess it's because that's Marvel then.
Sinister Six is six villains who team up to kill Spider-Man, and they do that over and over. Except according to Sony Pictures, Spider-Man wasn't even going to be in that movie. So who knows? Sony didn't know what they were doing at all.
I'll tell you what they were doing was they were saying, all we've got is Spider-Man, and we really like Marvel, and we really like this Spider-Man series, so let's make as many movies as we can out of this tiny little franchise. And so they were going to make the Aunt May movie, and they were going to make the Sinister Six movie, and the Venom movie, and all of that. And I think some of those are still in development, but they're kind of putting everything on hold so that they can be a part of the MCU. So, I don't know. We'll see. But I think... So let's talk just for a second. Next year we have... Is it two movies next year or three movies next year?
I believe it's two.
Okay.
Let me try to find a...
I'd have to look at the list, but
MCU Phase 3. Here we go.
Civil War.
We got Civil War, and then we've got Doctor Strange next year as well.
Okay.
So
and then Guardians 2, then Spider-Man, right?
Yeah. 2016 is Civil War and Doctor Strange. 2017 is Guardians 2, Spider-Man, and Thor Ragnarok. Then 2018 is Avengers Infinity War Part 1, Black Panther, and Captain Marvel. And then 2019 is Infinity War Part 2 and Inhumans. I have a feeling that some of these dates are going to be shuffled around. Just looking at them, like, I don't understand how they can have Infinity War Part 1 and then release anything before Infinity War Part 2. Unless it's a sort of interlude or a prequel, or you know what I mean? I don't know.
Does anything happen this Christmas? No, nothing's this Christmas. They don't want to compete with their own movie, which is Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, they're getting the heck out of the way of Star Wars.
Yeah, because nothing will compete with Star Wars.
They did that at Comic-Con, too, where they were just like, yeah, nope, we're good. We do not want to compete with our own movie.
Yeah, they know they have a movie there that they can't even compete with. So,
So is there anything else about Ant-Man before do we want to touch a little bit about Comic-Con? Have you seen any of the leaked footage from any of the stuff?
I know the stories. I didn't see the leaked footage. So
okay,
I know the basics.
So the ones that stand out to me that I've seen, so Suicide Squad was leaked, looks kind of cool. I'm not super excited about it though, honestly.
You know what? Here's what I'll say.
And Batman versus Superman, I guess, kind of goes into that too. But go ahead.
Star Wars, the stuff from Star Wars looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
you watch the footage of that, behind the scenes thing,
right?
Yeah.
So nothing. Honestly, the hype train is rolling, and that's not going to stop until December, and that's fine. But I hated Man of Steel so much.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I watch Man of Steel, I hate it even more. Like, it's on cable all the time, and I hate that movie. I saw it the other day, and I was like, I hate this movie. It's not good. It's like a desperate attempt to compete with the Avengers, and it looks terrible. And like, even just the special effects, like even just from a technical aspect, that movie looks terrible.
Did you ever see that What Would Happen If Man of Steel Was in Color? What would it look like? Did you ever see that?
No, what's that?
Basically what happened, and because there had been a super, or there had been a super Man of Steel, like there had been set photos for Man of Steel, and the suit was bright blue and like, you know, really bold red on the suit and all that kind of stuff. And then the movie came out and it was really desaturated.
Watched.
And so somebody actually went back to the movie and retouched it up and resaturated all of the colors, and it looks way better. Like, I would actually probably watch it if it was like, it just brings this whole level of like, you know, color and boldness and just excitement just through adding more color to the movie. So just
by somebody going in and actually recolor correcting the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Because much of the movie was was desaturated. You know, it was crazy. So I saw the footage for Batman versus Superman. I thought it was way better than Man of Steel. It was the first time I've been interested in the movie, but
I'm so skeptical though. Like, I so don't have faith.
It needs to be, and I'm okay with even with it being a serious movie. You know, like, I'm okay with that. It, like, Marvel is the popcorn flick sort of movie, and I'm okay with that. But I don't know. I just think that they need to be careful, I guess.
I think that movie needs to be perfect. Like, it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to say that, like, just make a good movie. It just has to be okay. But mm-hmm. it can't just be okay. It really just can't. Yeah. And it's probably not going to be better than okay.
Yeah.
And how is anybody going to compete with Marvel at that point? Like,
because it's going head to head with Civil War, isn't it?
That's what I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think they're coming out close.
How are you feeling about Batman versus Superman, Jesse?
I'm kind of in a similar department. I'm wanting to see it, but with the track record of the last few Superman movies, isn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of wondering if that's going to pull down
DC's DC's track record for movies is terrible anyway. And I know that the Nolan Batman movies, like the three of the trilogy, is great, right? And I appreciate that as a piece of film, and great.
The first two are. I'll give you the first two.
Okay, but that's exactly what I was going to say, is I hate that third movie. I think it does some impressive things with story. Like, I'm glad they did these things, but I'm like, also, I'm not into it. Like, it's not for me, and that's okay. Not every movie's meant to suit me, but I'm still
wanting to see a movie in the Batman Beyond world.
I want a decent Teen Titans movie, but I'm never going to get that either. So it's fine.
What about that's the DC stuff. I'm reserving judgment, I guess, is how I'll put that. Like, we'll see how it goes. Next up was the Fox panel, which they showed some footage for X-Men Apocalypse, introducing or featuring Ivan Ooze, if you haven't seen the pictures yet. Ivan Ooze from the Power Rangers movie, the first one.
Right.
Have you seen what Apocalypse looks like in this, dude?
What?
I've seen some of this stuff.
It's bad, dude. Apocalypse looks terrible. No, Ivan Ooze. I just say Ivan Ooze because it's just what he looks like. In the original, Power Rangers movie, he just looked like he's purple and he's ridiculous looking. He looks terrible. Which, I mean, they're trying to be loyal to the source material and make him this cool, like, purplish, bluish guy, but he, at least the single couple of pictures that they've, single couple, that's good, the couple of pictures that they've shown are not very flattering. I'm not super, I was excited about that movie until I started seeing more about it. Now I'm like, oh, this movie might not be as good as we hope. But the Deadpool trailer, on the other hand, that leaked.
Yes.
Oh man,
that looks so good.
Did you see the trailer for it?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, dude.
I'm so ready. I'm so ready.
Where it's, yeah, for those of you who haven't seen it, I don't even necessarily want to spoil it because it's so good.
No, I don't want to say anything for people who haven't seen it. Just honestly, I even want to say it's to the point where I don't even need to see any more until that movie comes out.
Oh yeah, no. Well, and
like
that was something that I was going to mention earlier about Ant-Man was this was when Avengers came out, I was like spoiler, like I was consuming everything about it as it came out. With Ant-Man, I was like, I don't really feel the need. I'm just going to go in blind and man, yeah, that's so much better.
That's why seeing the Falcon, because I knew nothing. Like, I had no idea who was in this. Like, I didn't know there was going to be anybody. That's what made that moment so great.
I had watched maybe like a couple of TV spots, and that was it.
I saw the movie theater trailer for Ant-Man, and mm-hmm. and if I had had a choice, I wouldn't have seen that.
Yeah. So it was, Deadpool, man, looks so good. When does that come out? Next February, March or something?
I don't remember when that comes out.
Did it have a date other than just 2016?
2016, February 2016, actually.
Is that competing with anything on the Marvel track?
No, because the first.
Good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Marvel movies won't be until like May-ish.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. Yeah. It's the perfect time. My
youngest one wants to see the Deadpool and wants to take a friend.
It's like, nope.
How old is he?
Wait for the clean flicks version.
She's 13.
Oh, it'll be fine. They won't do R, even though they should.
No, yeah.
I heard.
Did you see that trailer?
Yes, I did.
It is R as hell. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but I want it to get... I think they'll do everything to bring that line down before release.
I don't think so. I think they're going full R, and I think they're smart
great.
To do it.
Even if it is R, I won't. I don't think I'll have a problem with my kids seeing it. When I'm talking video games with people about, you know, should my kid play this? Should my kid play this? When I talk about M-rated games, I like to, you know, I make the comparison with movies. You know, there are some rated M games that is a really soft M, really close to T.
Yeah.
It's just like there are some soft R that's really close to PG-13, and then there are some hard R and hard M that are closer to the 17 and 18 only crowd that kids shouldn't be touching. I have a feeling they're going to go into R, but still keep it a soft R.
Words from a Nintendo dad, a video game parenting expert.
about this.
Like, you know, I've had my son has been playing Call of Duty games since he was 10, but I won't let my 16-year-old play Grand Theft Auto yet.
See,
I wouldn't let them play Grand Theft Auto, but I would agree with you and let them play pretty much anything Call of Duty, because Call of Duty's war. War is a thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if this movie, though, is like maybe not as gritty or as intense as what's the movie? Kick-Ass? Like those movies. But I wouldn't be surprised if they were close. Like maybe put it on, you know.
Actually, that's probably the benchmark it would probably be right next to. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. It's Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah, I don't think they'll cross that line.
I mean, to be fair, it was the villain from Kick-Ass 2. I don't want to say it on your podcast.
I have to put an explicit tag on there.
Yeah.
But...
And that's not fun for anybody.
Yeah, but it I think that's probably where it's gonna fall. So that looks really good. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I saw. The Warcraft movie panel, I don't know if you guys are interested in that, but I saw the leaked footage of that as well.
Somebody needs to send me a Google Cardboard. I need to just buy one.
Did you watch it without the Google Cardboard?
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm not talking about the 3D.
Well, I know
thing,
you're.
But...
I know you're not, but it's related.
I watched that too. Just I don't have a Google Cardboard either, but
it's cool.
The footage looked like, and apparently they've got tons of like 3D sets and all that, or like real life sets and stuff like that. But a lot of what leaked was more of a, it was the like CG stuff from the orcs on Draenor, and so it was very much like it looked like a Blizzard cinematic. So, and it was, it looked very much like it was a sort of opening of the dark portal. I don't know how much you know about like Warcraft lore and stuff like that, but it was like Gul'dan opening the dark portal and all that kind of stuff. So the footage didn't get me too excited, but I wasn't there and it was really grainy and crappy quality. So I was like, eh. I mean, we'll see how that turns out. I'm still excited for that movie too, though, being somebody who's basically played those games since Warcraft 1 came out. So
the potential is definitely there for this.
And they've basically, the funny thing is I think they're waiting for, it's the movie's almost done, they're basically just waiting for the right time to release it, like, because, well, they don't want to release it at Christmas.
With Star Wars, yeah. you can't compete with a Marvel movie. I mean, where do you release a movie?
I think they're
now
releasing it in June next year. So,
yeah,
which is the perfect time to do it. I mean, like, it's right between, you know, Batman versus Superman and Civil War. And I guess Doctor Strange is until the fall. So, like, mid to late summer is probably a good time for it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, anything else moving forward that we want to talk about before we wrap it up?
Did he all stay and see the final scene after credits?
Yeah, we haven't talked the post credit scene.
Oh yeah, that's right. It's basically a surprise Ant-Man's going to be in Civil War, right?
Right.
Which right. We kind of knew anyway, but it was interesting. Like, it's cool that Ant-Man, or I like that they kind of hint to the conflict, right? And they, what do they call it? The Accords or something like that.
Yeah,
basically that are going to be like, and they even hint at it in the movie. There's a newspaper somewhere in the movie. I didn't catch it, but, and there's even like, oh, Hank Pym makes a mention of, oh, Avengers are just dropping cities on people. Right. And so there's stuff like that, that is very clearly going to show up in Civil War. World government's going to be ticked about it, and we'll see some sort of legislation be put in place or something. So,
The dropping cities was a reference to Age of Ultron.
Yeah,
I think. I mean,
oh yeah, totally was.
Yeah, which is great. This whole mega universe is getting really big, though.
It's getting a little unwieldy, almost, where it's like, I like it, but at the same time, I'm like,
can I remember who everybody is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who don't get a lot of screen time, I'm not going to know who they are.
And not only that, but, like, yeah, exactly that, actually.
yeah, no, it's, I mean, like,
you've got so many people in this universe now, and how many do we actually know well?
Yeah.
Not very many.
That's why I think a TV series that's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but maybe hosted by Netflix so they get some more money.
And just, like, based out of the Avengers bunker.
Like, yeah, and just introduces to the minor characters.
Uh-huh.
The big characters have to be there, obviously, because if you're going to be in close proximity to, like, Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man, you know,
uh-huh,
he's got to be there. But, you know, we could have a story about Rhodey, and we could have a story about,
Can you just imagine if we actually had that, and it was like, you really get to have those, you know, like, the cool intimate moments that you get in Daredevil, have those between the Avengers. Maybe even, what if you could even do like an Avengers Academy sort of thing? I've always, for the longest time, I've wanted to have a movie, like a TV show of the Xavier Academy, you know, like the prime of the X-Men.
Like a real X-Men live action.
Like a real where it's X-Men just like show. Where it's like a cross between Saved by the Bell and like X-Men, you know, where it's like...
They had an animated show, kind of what you're talking about now,
mm-hmm, yeah,
back in the early 2000s.
Right, you it was know, like Evolution or something, right?
Yeah.
You know who needs to pick that up? And I hate to say these words, but like MTV could do that.
Right? Like, I
you're like...
like do the high school drama, but do it with the X-Men.
Right.
How hard is that? Like, that would be super cool. And you could still have like... Or like the, and see, this is me.
You can do all the BS high school drama nonsense, and still have it really work. in like, that universe.
Like, I'm really, like, I almost feel, like, ashamed to bring up this metaphor as, like, a model for it. But the sort of, narrative structure of something like the original Power Rangers series, where it was like, hey, we're in high school, now we're fighting bad guys, now we're back in high school, now we're fighting bad guys again. Like that's the kind of like TV show I think would do really cool. It would be really cool.
Yeah, I'm so okay with that idea.
Yeah.
CW. So, maybe CW would be saying.
Oh, yeah. CW wouldn't do it because Marvel DC.
Yeah, I know. They will never do it, but I still think they might do it better than MTV. Yeah. I said MTV because CW can't do it, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah.
Because of Arrow and
Flash. if they do it on ABC, then it's going to be really sort of sterilized and
yeah, no, they can't do it.
Sanitized
on
is the word I'm looking for. It'd be too sanitized.
Do it on Teen Nick. Teen Nick can do it.
Oh no, because then it's gonna end up being like, yeah, put it on like freaking Disney XD or something. No, that's not what we want.
Yeah, no.
Then you'll end up having the teenage laugh track over the background. Like that's no good. But anyway.
But it could be on Disney XD because that's who would actually end up running it.
And it would be like, yeah, it'd be like, and Storm, played by that chick from Raven. I don't know.
Oh, no.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it would be. It would be bad. It would, like, Avengers Academy is what they, because obviously they can't, I don't know what the TV rights of Marvel stuff is, but, like, it would have to be, like, Avengers Academy instead of X-Men, and then it would be, you know, like Zach and Cody on the boat or something, and they're actually like they play multiple man together. I don't know. You know? Anyways, this is kind of going off the rails. We need to end this. Any last thoughts before we? For what's the next movie that's coming out that we need to do this for? Fantastic Four is looking really good. It's looking.
I'll do it. I'll talk about it.
That's another one that I'm going to see it, but I have low expectations.
I have really low expectations.
Really?
I hate the Fantastic Four movies.
Those two definitely do. I think the casting on the main team is looking good. I'll say that the everything they've shown me of
I like the trailers. I'm excited.
Doctor Doom looks like garbage though. Like, Dr. Yes. Doom does not look like he has any personality or anything. He looks like a crazy guy who's going to kill everyone, which, you know, I mean, third act crap fest like every other superhero movie. Let's think real quick. Of all the superhero movies you can think of, is there a movie that did the third act really, really well? Can you think of one? Like, I'm trying to think even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Going through it, Avengers kind of, but it basically was oh no, the portal's open, let's fight, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And
like, oh no, you killed Coulson, now we all have to fight you.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking about from like a narrative standpoint of like, do we care about what's going on, or are we just here to watch fighting? Which if we're here to watch fighting and that's actually legitimately the reason, that's okay. But from a narrative standpoint, I'm just trying to think MCU, like from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Iron Man 1, no, it was just Obadiah Stane turning into a crazy person. Hulk, no.
No.
Iron Man 2?
Not good anyway.
Iron Man 2, not really. Captain America was okay, but again, it was like, here's a montage and now we're going to fight and then it's over. Avengers, yeah, no. So all of Phase 1 is not really.
They need to bring in some really talented writers.
Actually, you know what did it really well is Winter Soldier. That was pretty good because there were the helicarriers. You knew what was going on. It wasn't just, oh no, now the bad guy's going to fight us. It was no.
And it was a slow build up to Hydra taking over.
Yeah, and it was the big like Hydra reveal at the beginning of the third act or the end of the second act, and then it was just
maybe
craziness.
That's why we all say Winter Soldier is the better like movie.
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, even, it was like,
well,
you know, okay, whatever, like they are a team now, right? Like, and that was kind of the draw to that.
I mean, that big battle was going to happen no matter what, and it, we enjoy it, but was it brilliant writing? I don't think so. His dance off thing, I love it. It makes me smile.
But it was like,
and but it's also really not brilliant.
Yeah.
It makes me happy, but it doesn't necessarily make for the greatest, like, cinematic masterpiece of all time.
Mm-hmm. So I guess, yeah, that's pretty much it. We've got Fantastic Four coming out this year, and then we've got Star Wars later. What else is... I'm just looking up movies that are coming out.
Star Wars. Actually, Star Wars might be it.
Yeah, Star Wars. Well, we'll definitely do one for Star Wars. That's not even a question. Movies.
Anything before that at all? Is there anything before Star Wars?
Are they seriously doing a movie about the Stanford Prison Experiment? That's weird. sorry, I'm just looking at like. Have you ever heard of that? By the way, that's a no. weird thing. Pixels.
I'll do a show about Pixels.
I need to see Pixels, man. I want to see Pixels. I don't know if we'll do a thing on it, but. I
have faith in Pixels being one of those Adam Sandler movies that is actually okay.
Which is not saying much, but it'll be...
But, I mean, nothing's ever going to stack up to Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison. The reality is nothing will ever compare to those two movies.
Anyway, so planning my movie budget for this month, I asked my family.
I spent mine about three movies ago, but...
I said, all right. These are the three movies I want to see. Tell me which ones you want to see. It could be all of them. It could be none of them. I don't care. I just want to know what you want to see. And the results surprised me. The boy only wanted to see Pixels. He didn't care about the others. And the girls wanted to see all of them.
Hmm. And so which ones were they? Pixels.
Pixels, Minions, and Ant-Man.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
And My wife, did we all see
Minions?
I haven't seen it.
And then my wife wanted to see Pixels and not so much the other two. And so I took the girls out this weekend to see Ant-Man and Minions kind of back-to-back.
Sweet. I saw Minions and Inside Out back-to-back.
I haven't seen Inside Out yet. But
I haven't seen it either.
So it was the three of us plus...
I could do a show about that if anybody wants to.
Plus their grandpa. So the four of us went, and all four of us agreed Ant-Man was the better movie.
Hmm.
Though I did enjoy the Minions end credit scene. And that has to be seen in 3D.
Oh,
If you don't see it in 3D, you didn't see it.
Okay, so here's the movies coming out. Pixels on July 24th. So that's next weekend, or this weekend, I guess. Yes. We've also got the new Mission Impossible movie coming out July 31st, which, I don't know, I'm always up for some Tom Cruise-ness.
You know what? I was looking forward to Terminator Genesis, okay? And I've just been ruined, so it's fine.
I haven't seen that one yet.
I watched the trailer and felt like I got most of it.
I didn't see it, but I heard terrible things. Somebody came in my store.
I wasn't expecting good things either. I just still want to see it.
Somebody came in and said that that Jurassic World was a better movie than Inside Out, which just ruined my life too. So
Jurassic World, I actually did see Jurassic World. I thought that movie was...
I thought it was a popcorn movie.
It was decent until they... And for somebody who has studied animal behavior in depth, I had problems with that movie.
Well,
especially the third act with the, again, we're spoilers here, but with like the raptors talking to the made up dinosaur, and then like the T-Rex and the raptor teaming up somehow for some reason, and like it was fun to watch, but from somebody who's actually studied animal behavior, I was like, yeah, this is not, there's all sorts of anthropomorphizing going on in this.
My biggest problem with that movie, and it isn't the fault of the movie, is that I had to watch it in the front row.
Oh.
Oh, actually, speaking of sitting in the front row.
Steve Jobs is coming out on October 9th. Have you seen the trailer for that? Have you seen the trailer for that?
I've seen the trailer. Yet.
Oh, dude, that trailer got me excited about that movie.
I don't think it's going to be the biographical Steve Jobs movie I want.
It's going to be the Social Network of Steve Jobs.
It's going to be the Social Network of Steve Jobs. Yeah, and that's fine. I'm going to enjoy the heck out of that movie.
It won't necessarily be
It's not the one you need, but it's the one you deserve.
Yeah. Also, have you seen the Goosebumps trailer?
My kids want to see that. So excited. Except I grew up with Goosebumps, so... Yeah,
I did too, but I'm like...
I don't like Jack Black, so I'm like... Ugh.
I love Jack Black, but, you know, that's fine. That's an opinion. That's totally an opinion.
I think that's pretty much it.
I definitely am voting Pixels.
Yeah, Pixels. The only ones I'm really excited about. Pixels, Fantastic Four...
there was one
Steve
more.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs will definitely be a discussion worth.
And then this list that I'm looking at only goes till October 20th. So then we're looking at stuff like, Star Wars and The Last Hunger Games, if people are like that movie and stuff like that. So
I still haven't seen the most recent Hunger Games movie. So whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen the third one yet, but I plan on seeing it and then seeing the fourth.
I learned from the Harry Potter double part is I just want to see them both together.
Yeah, you really do. Although the ending of that movie is really kind of disturbing.
You can just give me a 6-hour movie. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that.
Okay, well, I'm going to cue our music again. Or maybe? Oh, I did the same thing. Dang it. Okay. There we go. Okay. Cool. Well, thank you everybody for listening in to our After Dark episode. You can check us all out on Twitter and all the social medias. We are at Nintendo Dads. I'm also at Zach Erickson. That's ZACERICKSON. You can follow Laffer or Jesse at Laffer2. That's LLAFFER2. And you can follow Dave over at DaceSpace at DaceSpace. And of course, head over to VGTribune.com, iTunes, all of the other sort of things. We will be back on Wednesday night for a regular episode of Nintendo Dads. And until everybody, see you later. Bye-bye. I love that.